holds faculty appointments at the University of Michigan and serves on the board of Consortium for Academic Health Centers in Integrative Medicine. She is a co-PI on a HHS grant to incorporate integrative medicine and preventive medicine residency. For over 15 years, she developed and implemented integrative medicine curricula for students and faculty. Dr. Ben facilitates program evaluation efforts for several national integrative medicine efforts and also conducts research on meditation in the schools. She's going to speak on interprofessional faculty development for complementary and integrative healthcare, effects on research, teaching, learning, and practice. Welcome, Dr. Ben.
So thank you, and I want to commend all of you for being here at this late date and being able to have your eyes open still. I'm thrilled to be able to talk about this program because it's kind of my baby and I'm passionate about it, and I want to inspire any of you to replicate this model at your own institution, and I'm happy to help you in any kind of way. So what I'd like to do today is just describe to you the Faculty Scholars Programs that we created, talk to you a little bit about the context in which it's provided, its goals, some of the content that we do in the process, let you know about the evaluation methods that we've used, share some key ingredients that we think for its success, and again, impassion you and to adapt it. So the goals of our Faculty Scholars Program was to foster multidisciplinary learning, or you could call now the buzzword is interprofessional education, among faculty at the University of Michigan in integrative healthcare. And we wanted them to be able to translate that learning into projects that they wanted to implement, that they were passionate about in the university and throughout the campus. Because as only a couple of faculty at the University of Michigan, we couldn't take the whole charge of educating all the students that are there, and we needed to build sort of what we would consider an army or a community that would be able to help us. And so that's our third goal, was to really build a community of scholars over the years. So the program began 12 years ago with a grant from the National Center for Clinical and Alternative Medicine. It was an R25 grant that we received to integrate curriculum into the School of Medicine and allied schools. And again, we thought we couldn't do this alone, and that's why we thought we can't just create curriculum and get extra hours in, but we needed to also help faculty understand the context and the research related to it so that they can be ambassadors with us. The University of Michigan is, you know, Go Blue, for those of you who know the acronym. Yeah, great. You want to do Hail to the Victors. It's a school that has 40,000 students in it. We have a medical school. We have several hospitals. We have 12 other schools and colleges on our campus. The community is a pretty liberal community, but the medical school is pretty conservative in its orientation. We also have a hand, the community is rich in terms of the complementary and alternative providers that exist, and so we could tap them. The focus of the university, you know, the focus of the university is really research. Although we will talk about patient care and we'll talk about teaching. So we also needed to figure out how we can use what it is that the administrators would think is important so that we can build integrative medicine in that capacity. We had also, we were lucky enough to have a P50 grant, which at that time was a large institutional grant to investigate several trials of herbal medicine, Reiki, and Qigong for cardiovascular disease, and there were only about, I think, two P50 grants funded a long time ago. So that gave us some credibility in the university right away because we were looking at integrative medicine from a research perspective. But the real goals of the hidden curriculum, or the real goals were a hidden curriculum, which was personal growth and transformation. Because we really felt that faculty needed to be, you know, like faculty are not nurtured in our community. They are driven to be productive, and nobody really takes care of them. They're not given time very much to reflect on their own being and on their own well-being. So we felt we wanted to also give them the opportunity to feel nurtured and cared for, and allow them then to embody some of the principles of relationship-centered and heart-centered practice that they could then be able to share and feel with their patients and their students. So what we did is we started the program off by having a competitive application process. Because if it's competitive, then the faculty all want to join. And we said we were only going to take 8 to 12 scholars from different schools. Only half were going to be accepted from the medical school. The rest were going to be from one of those other colleges, from schools of business, from schools of social, literature, science, and arts, from schools of nursing, from schools of kinesiology, because we wanted to really have an interdisciplinary group, because healing occurs, in our belief, when the patient is supported from folks who know from different areas. And it's just not a physician-centric model. It requires a lot of people to think together and support a patient. And we asked people to propose a particular project that they wanted to develop. And at that time, we were focused much more on education, so we wanted an educational project. Now we've asked people to propose research studies or clinical service projects that they might implement, because we're not as tied as much to that R25. We're not tied anymore to that R25 grant. And we wanted them to get a letter of support from their dean or their chair, and that was really strategic on two fronts. One is we wanted them to have release time, but the other is we wanted their deans and chairs to know that this is what we're doing and that their faculty was interested in it. And that was a way that we could sort of, again, slowly build awareness of the importance of integrative medicine or integrative health. And we called our program just Integrative Health Care from the get-go, because we, again, wanted to level the playing field amongst all the disciplines. The program was designed to be a small group seminar format. We took it off-site, so it was in a building that was affiliated with the university, but wasn't discipline-specific, and where, there, of course, there was parking was adequate, and we didn't have to get stressed out right away about that. And it was in a beautiful setting with trees, and there was an art gallery right next door. So it was very different for a lot of the faculty who came there. The core teaching faculty consisted of myself, Sarah Warber, who you saw up there, who was a family physician, an internist, Amy Saunders, a naturopath, Susie Zick, as well as patients and community practitioners, who we kind of had vetted through the community over the years by observing them and how they taught lectures when we invited them to the campus, and also through a previous program that we did where we trained CAM practitioners in research methods, and so that they could have the language that they needed in order to communicate properly with the faculty. It was a 100-hour program, so 11 full days, once a day, and we strategically also chose a once a day for a full day rather than a half day twice a month. So this was an opportunity for faculty really to really feel like this was their day off, so to speak, and to not feel compelled to check their email and their pagers, because they could just really give themselves to that particular day. We got continuing medical education credit, and then every year, in order to build our scholars community, we would hold a reunion where then faculty could network with each other. And so what was once started as 8 faculty in the first cohort, we now have 112, and we have at least half that amount that come every year for a half a day of learning and eating, and so that's and people really enjoy that. So there's been a lot of cross collaboration as a result of that process. So these are the topics that we cover, and this is the order in which we cover them. And again, the order of the topics was also strategic in our mind, a scaffolding process where we really had them sort of discuss what was it like, what's their cultural paradigm about integrative medicine. You know, what are the myths? What are their beliefs? How is it that we know what it is that we know? How much of medicine might be evidence-based? What is evidence? And so those were big questions that we grappled with right away on the first day. And we spent a lot of time also on introductions of people getting to know each other well in a deep way, where people just shared their stories. And then we went on to Mind Body Medicine Day, where we really explored, well, what's meditation? And they got to practice meditation, and they got to practice mindful eating, and they got an evidence-based presentation on the science behind it, and we'd have a practitioner come and lead them in and bring a patient with them who actually had been suffering from heart disease or panic attacks and spoke to the faculty about what meditation did for them. And then we always had healthy food, healthy breakfast. and great lunches each time. And we provided some nutritional information about our lunches, so faculty got a sense of feeling better and also experiencing all different kinds of foods. So if it was cardiovascular day, we would do a Mediterranean diet. If it was mental health day, we made sure we had walnuts and salmon for omega-3s. And so, you know, those were the kinds of things. And so they could learn, it was sort of very integrated both horizontally and vertically across the curriculum. And by the way, Catherine Smith, who's at the Samueli Institute, was one of my students at that time and had worked with me to help develop this program. So for those of you from Samueli, I just want to let you know that, too. She unfortunately left to never even see it be implemented, but that she was really part of the brains in helping us work through this. So these were some of the key design principles, modeling relationship-centered values and practices. So as a facilitator of that program, I was there all the time. It wasn't, you know, we might have different presenters come in and out, but, you know, I never missed a session. And so that was there to just show that the importance of one person who could sort of hold the container for the group to explore. And it was very interesting because in this model, there was not really any upmanship that was going on. We would have a dermatology surgeon talking to a social work faculty member and a nursing faculty member without any kind of concern that I am better than you or I know more than you, because they were all learning about this new field together. And that was, and they were curious about it and interested. When we would have physician faculty educators come in to talk about, share their information about assessment or evaluation, they were always amazed about the bonding of the group and the level of intimacy that the group had that he had never kind of experienced whenever he did programs. And in part, it was relationship to it occurred because of the structure, but also in part because of the nature of the material and the kinds of questions that you're exploring. People took this program not only to want to learn about integrative medicine for their own patients and be able to sound competent when they're talking to their patients, but also for their own health. And they were at different points in their lives where they needed to be professionally renewed. And this was the way that they, you know, could explore that. And we, in terms of the projects that the faculty developed, there was a mentor that was assigned to that particular faculty, and we would meet with him or her for an hour to talk about their particular project, and we would send them resources and information so that we could really encourage them to move on as they start to explore an area. These were the core session components of every single session. We began with a reflection and inspiration, so from the humanities, using that sense of poetry. There's a wonderful book that I would recommend for everybody. It's called The Book of Awakening by Mark Nepo. He's a cancer survivor and a poet, and he was famous now from Oprah a couple of months ago. And so there's a reflection for every single day of the year, and there's also an opportunity to do a meditative practice at the end of that day. So we would begin our days that way. We have check-in. We'd have a PowerPoint or evidence-based presentation related to integrative medicine approaches, in particular, you know, for cardiovascular disease or for cancer, or if our session was just on herbs and modalities. We'd have hands-on demonstrations. For example, when we're exploring mental health, we have faculty members do a collage as for homework on what is mental health, and they come in and they share that. We ask them to create a vision for integrative medicine for the leadership day at the end so that they can have a vision for what it is that they want to create when they leave here. We would have, during our herbal day, we might have tonics that people make. One time, one of our faculty brought in some orange juice and vodka along with that, but we told them that wasn't allowed. So people really, you know, we wanted to make it fun as well as serious and as well as informative. And we had project progress presentations. So after about three sessions in, we had faculty present their project in progress to the group and get feedback from the group as to how it can be improved. And, you know, how often, other than for those of you who have a master's or PhD, do you get someone to listen to you what it is that you want to do and give you feedback from multiple perspectives? So this was their opportunity. And at the end of the year, they were required to present their project to the whole group to talk about what progress they made from the point of which they presented it to the end, and some reflections around that, and you saw vast improvement. And people created all kinds of marvelous things that you'll see in a moment. And we also did I had an evaluation every day. At the end of the session, we had people write about what was their aha moment for that day, what worked well, what didn't work, and what do they want to learn about more. And I would use that in the next session to share that information back to them, but as well as to think about what did I need to address for the next session. This is a sample agenda so that you could see on mind-body medicine, which I kind of described to you before. Then this is how we evaluated the program. We had our daily session evaluations. And then before scholars entered the program, we asked them about their learning goals, and we asked them to identify three learning goals. And at the end of the program, we asked them the rate on a Likert scale to what extent that they were able to accomplish that goal. So we gave them back to them. We asked them to write a personal narrative on what being in the program meant for them, both personally and professionally. And we also had quantitative ratings on the format and the content and the facilitation, as well as the self-assessment of their own personal and professional growth on a Likert scale. We did also two follow-up studies that were qualitative in nature, and because we wanted to see, were we really hitting the mark in terms of what our intentions were? And we didn't do any more after the two because we were, and the narrative spoke to that each time, as well as the evaluations. And also we were able to measure the impact through the curriculum projects that they designed and that they had implemented in the following years. So to date, we've had 12 cohorts, 112 faculty members. They represent 16 departments within the medical school, so from family medicine to ophthalmology. And I thought, what's an ophthalmologist want to learn in this particular program? But, you know, she wanted to learn more about dry eyes and what kind of integrative approaches might be used to treat dry eyes. We had an oncologist, a nephrologist. The largest percentage were from family medicine. We also included our integrative medicine fellows in this program as a participant. And these were the schools that all participated in. So we had a representative for 4 years in a row. We had a representative from the business school, and we encouraged, and from social work schools, and we encouraged faculty to tell their other faculty for the next year so that they would have a support person to build whatever it is they wanted to build in their university. So in our business school, we have a wonderful program now in positive psychology. It was started by one of the faculty scholars who was in this program. Last year we had a rheumatologist, and she has just opened up an integrative rheumatology clinic now at the hospital. So, you know, faculty members are going and taking what they are learning and using it. These are pictures of some of our groups, and they look just like ordinary folks. And even though we're doing it at the university, you could do it in a hospital setting, you could do it in a community setting. It really is a transportable model. This is just a pie chart to give you an example of the representation. As you can see, 40% were from over the 12 cohorts were from medicine and dentistry, and the next largest number were from mental health, psychology, social work, and then the allied health, school of public health, school of nursing, school of kinesiology. Oh, no, public health was separately, school of kinesiology and school of nursing for public health. We had folks from the School of Natural Resources interested in healing gardens, the effects of the environment, in hospitals who came and developed projects in that regard. The faculty ranks varied. We had, I think there was, the majority were junior level faculty, over 30% that was more senior faculty members. These are the variety of projects that were created, and in pink, those are the ones that have been implemented, and in blue were the ones that were designed. When we've done a follow-up, about 65% of all projects have been implemented, which is pretty good because they don't necessarily get ongoing support to do the projects once they leave. So we encourage them to plan as much as they can in that year that they're with us. So if they're going to plan a research study, they're designing the research study during that year. If they're going to be creating a course in another school, they develop the whole syllabus by the end of the year so that the next year they can get it through the curriculum committee, and then they can get it offered in the following year or after that. So here are some examples of projects that you could see. In the medical school, we had an elective 6-hour module developed called the Meaning of Medicine. For second-year medical school students, one faculty member developed an herbal Jeopardy game. There's been residency lectures on CAM and reproductive health, pediatrics, spirituality, and psychiatry. And then some folks have gone on to develop tracks in different fields. So in family medicine, we now have in our residency program an integrative medicine track, and in psychiatry, a psychosomatic residency track that incorporates a lot of the principles of integrative health. These are some courses from the other allied health schools that you can see. In public health, there's now a course on herbs and dietary supplements, and there wasn't. In social work, there was no course before on the theory and practice of mind-body medicine, and now there is one. In the School of Nursing, we have a course in complementary and alternative therapies, and these are courses not like medical school courses of like 6 hours or 12 hours, but, you know, 33-hour graduate level courses. And we now have courses on mindfulness and compassion and psychology for undergraduates and graduates, and in music, on music health and healing. Then people also developed additions to their courses, just modules that they could insert. For example, a woman in the School of Pharmacy developed a program where she would have the students go out to camp practitioners in the community who were mind-body practitioners, not those that were prescribing herbs, because when she had people come in for their pain medications and they weren't adjusting well to them, she could refer them to other practitioners who might be helpful to them. And she thought by having them go out in the community, interview those practitioners and understand what they're doing, they'd be more likely to refer. And then we have some services now that we didn't have before on mind-body therapy for patients with depression. We have back pain groups that are in family medicine, patient education materials that are that have been developed in the departments of urology, family medicine, and OBGYN. And we have research studies, and actually one that was funded through NCAM for yoga for pregnant teens. Barbara Fredrickson, if any of you are familiar with positive psychology, she was our scholar in the third year program and credits her a new trajectory of her career on meditation and loving kindness to participation in it. And so these are some of the, just let you know that the reflections of the scholars, they just found being in the program life-changing and professionally renewing. And the key ingredients they felt was the safety that was created within the context of the group, the interaction with diverse colleagues, because they were so happy to be able to talk to somebody outside of their own discipline and to learn anew. They felt actually like they were being in college again. And it was just that they were excited to do that. And so they felt that their thinking was stimulated in ways they could never imagine. So these are just some comments that they made. And I could pull out anyone from any of my scholars and give you something similar to this. But this course has been a transformative experience for me, both personally and professionally. Aside from completing my dissertation and the birth of my kids, FSP was my top 10 life events. Thank you for everything. I will have to be weaned from the program, but never from the people. And people ask, can I come back again for year two? So these are some of the operational factors that are critical for success. You know, the diversity of the group, really important. Nurturing the faculty through food, sending them resources, and allowing them to speak in a safe kind of way. A warmth, warm facilitator who's interested in people and in the material. Full day sessions, critical, expert presenters, varied program agendas that are geared toward adult learners with hands-on activities and not just PowerPoint after PowerPoints, and contact with scholars in between the sessions. And so we maintain this momentum, as I shared with you, through emails and through reunions and building networks and continued learning. And these are some of the activities that our scholars continue to participate in. They are doing CME conferences where they're making sure integrative medicine is incorporated in when they're planning those for their department. There have been I think there's over 10 manuscripts that have been published in complementary alternative medicine and integrative healthcare, even by a business professional who looked at the benefits in different organizations when you offer more integrative healthcare benefits. So I'll just end with this wonderful quote, you know, the real voyage of discovery lies not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes.